welcome to the American Society of Anesthesiologists Perioperative Brain Health Initiative podcast, promoting brain health for older adults around the time of surgery. Before we begin, we want to thank the Perioperative Brain Health Initiative supporters, Masimo, Medtronic, and Edwards Life Sciences, as their support has provided the tools and resources to produce this podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Perioperative Brain Health Huddle. In today's 10-minute podcast, I'm very pleased to interview Dr. Miles Berger, Assistant Professor of Anesthesiology and Affiliate Faculty at the Center for Cognitive Neuroscience at Duke University. Today, Dr. Berger and I will be discussing the best practices for postoperative brain health recommendations from the 5th International Perioperative Neurotoxicity Working Group. These recommendations were published in Anesthesia and Analgesia in December 2018. My name is Stacey Diner. I'm a professor of anesthesiology, perioperative, and pain medicine at the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. I study cognitive and physical recovery in older adults after surgery, and I'm delighted to be able to speak today to Dr. Berger, who's a neuroscientist and anesthesiologist, and whose work shows promise to contribute to our understanding of best practice for improving perioperative brain health for older patients. The American Society of Anesthesiology Perioperative Brain Health Initiative is a public health campaign focused on improving brain health at the time of surgery for older patients. Dr. Berger's work is absolutely central to our goals with this initiative. Welcome, Dr. Berger. To start, can you tell us about yourself and your research?
Sure. Thanks, Dr. Diner. I'm delighted to be here, and I want to thank you and the ASA for inviting me. My research team focuses on understanding the causes of postoperative cognitive dysfunction or neurocognitive disorder postoperative and delirium. We're also interested in learning whether these disorders are associated with either neuroinflammation or an increase in Alzheimer's disease neuropathology or biomarkers.
Dr. Berger, you took a lead role in developing the best practices for postoperative brain health recommendations. Can you briefly tell us more about how these recommendations were developed?
Sure. In San Francisco in May 2016, over 30 experts met at the 5th International Perioperative Neurotoxicity Workshop to discuss best practices for optimizing perioperative brain health in older adults, folks age 65 and older. The workshop was solution-focused. We wanted to develop consensus solutions to improve patient management. This meeting resulted in the best practices for postoperative brain health, which we recommend that anesthesiologists follow.
So just to outline the problem, perioperative neurocognitive disorders have been identified as a significant public health issue. We're going to call them END for short, and this term and the nomenclature around PND have become the standard of care and are beginning to supplement what we used to call postoperative cognitive dysfunction. Over 16 million Americans over the age of 60 undergo anesthesia and surgery every year. Studies suggest that greater than 10 to 40% of these patients will develop a type of PND after perioperative care. To improve perioperative brain health for older patients, your guidelines suggest that there are four key recommendations for best practices. Can you tell us about them?
Yes. Best practices for postoperative brain health are organized around four key issues: pre-procedure consent, preoperative cognitive assessment, intraoperative management, and postoperative follow-up. These four issues form the basis of our recommendations.
Let's start with informed consent. What is the recommendation for best practice?
So our group felt that all patients over the age of 65 should be informed of the risks of perioperative neurocognitive disorders, or PND, including confusion, inattention, and memory problems after having an operation.
Now, why did your group feel that it was so important to discuss PND as a part of consent?
So we believe that patients should be informed about the risk of perioperative neurocognitive disorders as part of the informed consent for anesthesia and surgery for several reasons. First, the risk of these perioperative neurocognitive disorders is much more common than other risks that anesthesiologists and surgeons routinely tell patients about and consent them for. such as the potential of intraoperative mortality or intraoperative awareness with explicit recall. Second, consenting patients about PND risk gives them a realistic impression of what their cognitive state may be like in the days, weeks, and months after anesthesia and surgery. Third, consent allows patients to plan. They can either make important cognitive decisions before anesthesia and surgery or delay making them until several months afterwards when they're more likely to be at their full cognitive faculties. Fourth, informing patients of PND risks might even help reduce the risks of these disorders. For example, encouraging family members to talk with the patient and be around them and encourage early mobility could potentially reduce the risk of perioperative neurocognitive disorders.
Dr. Berger, ideally, when should these consent discussions occur?
So, ideally, these consent discussions should take place well before the day of surgery, so that patients have a chance to learn about these risks in a less stressful environment. This would also give them time to clarify any issues and ask questions.
Yes, that's an important point. Now let's talk about cognitive assessment, which is the second recommendation for best practice for postoperative brain health.
Yes, so in patients 65 and older, we recommend objectively evaluating a patient's baseline cognition with a brief screening tool during a preoperative evaluation. We also recommend doing a baseline cognition assessment in any patient with risk factors for pre-existing cognitive impairment.
Why is cognitive testing before surgery so important?
So, assessing a patient's baseline cognition is important because preoperative cognitive impairment is a strong risk factor for perioperative neurocognitive disorders. Assessing baseline cognition is also important for informed consent, and so patients can make an informed decision about their care. As anesthesiologists, we currently assess many other organ systems as part of our routine preoperative evaluation through taking a medical history and performing a physical examination. So it makes sense to assess the central nervous system, the brain, before altering it with anesthetic drugs, especially because the central nervous system is the target organ of nearly all anesthetic drugs and analgesic drugs and plays a central role in perioperative neurocognitive disorders. Moreover, assessing baseline cognition before surgery can help us identify patients who are at risk for perioperative neurocognitive disorders, including patients with age-related comorbidities such as hypertension, diabetes, and/or obstructive sleep apnea. If patients are deemed to be an increased risk for perioperative neurocognitive disorders, a preoperative discussion can help them make important decisions before surgery.
Dr. Berger, how should a patient's cognition be assessed prior to surgery?
So it's not practical or appropriate to conduct a lengthy neuropsychological assessment during a routine preoperative clinic visit. So we recommend using just a brief cognitive screening test in the pre-op screening clinic, such as the MiniCOG, which just takes 2 to 4 minutes to administer. With the MiniCOG, patients are asked to remember 3 words, draw the hands of a clock to show a specific time, draw the face of a clock, and repeat the 3 words they were asked to remember. The MiniCOG can be an effective way to assess baseline cognition. There's also several other brief cognitive assessment tools that are discussed in our paper that can be used as well.
The third best practice recommendation for postoperative brain health involves intraoperative management. Can you tell us more about it?
Sure. We recommend that anesthesiologists monitor age-adjusted end-tidal MAC fraction, that they strive to optimize cerebral perfusion, and that they use EEG-based intraoperative brain monitoring to titrate anesthetic management in older adults. Yet, more research is still needed to evaluate and compare specific brain function monitors, methods, and approaches. Our goal is to avoid relative hypotension, maintain normothermia, and reasonable anesthetic dosage. Because some medications can contribute to perioperative neurocognitive disorders or other forms of cognitive dysfunction outside of the perioperative care setting, the recommendations also advise anesthesiologists to cautiously use or even avoid some of these medications in older patients. Thus, to promote postoperative brain health in older patients, anesthesiologists should avoid, for example, using centrally acting anticholinergic drugs, benzodiazepines, meperidine, and other drugs such as diphenhydramine, prochlorperazine, haloperidol, and hydrocortisone, because these drugs can contribute to the risk of confusion and inattention after surgery in older adults.
And finally, the fourth recommendation for best practices for postoperative brain health concerns postoperative follow-up and management. What do you recommend?
Well, it's clear that many of our older patients will experience perioperative neurocognitive disorders after intraoperative care. But there was little consensus in our group on who should follow these patients and manage these problems in the postoperative period. So we recommend that more studies be done to evaluate the efficacy, feasibility, and cost-effectiveness of various follow-up strategies. We need studies to assess short and long-term cognitive outcomes after hospital discharge, to study how to optimally manage these disorders, and to clarify who should follow these patients after surgery, and what patients should be told about the current understanding regarding recovery from these disorders in the longer term.
What role does the anesthesiologist play with regard to patient follow-up?
So outside of the pain clinic or intensive care unit settings, most anesthesiologists only see their postoperative patients a day or two after surgery for a brief postoperative check. Because many cases of perioperative neurocognitive disorders don't become clinically apparent until after this point, if at all, most anesthesiologists likely will remain unaware of these cognitive issues in their patients. So we need more studies on how to optimize the postoperative care of these patients and how to best manage perioperative neurocognitive disorders. We also need studies to evaluate the efficacy, feasibility, and cost-effectiveness of multiple strategies to assess outcomes, ranging from in-person clinic visits to telephone calls and telemedicine to automated electronic assessment tools, ranging from apps to automated phone calls to both physical and cognitive exercise programs, sleep hygiene, environmental and/or drug treatment approaches. The bottom line is that a lot more work needs to be done, but the recent development of this standardized nomenclature using the umbrella term perioperative neurocognitive disorders and tools for perioperative outcome assessment can help us compare outcome measures across studies, institutions, and even countries.
Yes, and in the meantime, there's a lot we can do to help improve the perioperative brain health available to older patients. With informed consent, cognitive testing or screening before surgery, and standardized intraoperative management, we can help patients better understand their risk for perioperative neurocognitive disorders, and we can allocate hospital resources to optimally care for high-risk patients to reduce the risk of delirium and improve recovery.
Yes, absolutely. It's our hope that these best practices will serve as a starting point and as the basis for more formalized evidence-based recommendations for minimizing the impact of perioperative neurocognitive disorders and for optimizing postoperative brain health.
On that note, Dr. Berger, thank you so much for speaking to us, and thank you for your support of the ASA Perioperative Brain Health Initiative campaign.
Thank you so much, Dr. Diner, and to the ASA for this opportunity.
You've been listening to the American Society of Anesthesiologists Perioperative Brain Health Initiative podcast, promoting brain health for older adults around the time of surgery. Thank you again to the Perioperative Brain Health Initiative supporters, Masimo, Medtronic, and Edwards Life Sciences, whose contributions help provide tools and resources to optimize the cognitive recovery and perioperative experience for adults 65 and older.